We're on our series about loving God because the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with everything that you are. And if that's the greatest, then we have to make sure that we're doing what he's called us to do. And we've come at it in the sense that for most of us, we've figured out that God loves us. We don't know why, but we've figured out that he does. But then in response to that, we have to love God back. And so we've been looking at this, and so I have a quick question for you. You don't have to answer it, like, out loud, but you'll know it if you were here last week. Anybody run into any people last week? Mm-hmm. Aren't you glad God put them in your life so you could love them? John 13, 34 and 35 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." And so that's the commandment that he's given us. And then here's the promise. He says, by this, by us loving one another, he says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So what he's also saying is if you don't have that love, then we have to check and see if we're really his disciples or not. Galatians 5:14 says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then that brings us to Luke chapter 6 and in verse 27, and we're going to start there. But this is where Jesus is trying to make a contrast. He makes it later on in the passages that we're going to read, but he also makes it right at the beginning of verse 37. He says, "But I say to you." So when he says, "but I say to you," means he's giving you a different way, okay? "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." Anybody been used or abused this week? You've had an opportunity to pray. Isn't that great? Verse 29. "To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them." Sounds like the golden rule to me. Everybody agree? Verse 32. And then here's the comparison. Here's the contrast. And so he's comparing God's way of loving versus our way of loving, or versus the world's way of loving. And this is how he wants us to love. Verse 32, "If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them." So he's contrasting us to just sinners. Okay? So what he's saying is he wants us to be different. So we have to love those who don't just love us. Verse 33, "And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good. And lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." And so this is a standard that God has established for us if we claim to love him. If we claim to love God, then God says, okay, then this is what I want to see in your life. This is how I want you to walk. This is how I want you to love. Okay? And the evidence that we love God is seen in the fact that we love people. You know, we think it's going to church. We think it's giving. We think it's doing all these other things, check off list things. But God says, no, it's in loving others. Okay? And it's not just in loving others who are good to you, but loving those that God has placed in your life. Now, one thing that I do want to say is loving others doesn't mean that you have to invite them over for dinner. You know? I mean, there's some people that have been abusive, and there's all kind of things, and there's no reason to be involved in their life, and you have to decide where that is. But, you know, loving people doesn't mean you have to have everybody over at your house, okay? But on the flip side of that, I do want to tell you something. If God tells you to invite them over to your house, you better obey, okay? I'm researching the story of Smith Wigglesworth because before I tell you, I want to make sure it's right. But it's amazing what his wife did to enable him to be saved. And you know, that's somebody who loved God and who loved God well, his wife. So, and so we have a comparison and contrast of how we're supposed to be living our lives. And so here's what I want us to see today. God wants to see the difference in us. He wants it to be evident that we belong to Him. He doesn't want to have to look down and guess, oh, are they going to walk with me today or not? Okay? He's looking for that. And the amazing thing is whatever God commands us to do, whatever He asks us to do, and this is the amazing thing, He gives us the ability to do it. He doesn't ask of us something that He hasn't already done Himself. And so God has placed His Spirit in us when we've received salvation. And after salvation, then He expects the Spirit in us to make a difference in us so that we can love the people that God places in our lives. That we become mature and responsible. And we begin to be changed into His likeness and image. Okay? You know, I mentioned last week, there's no parent that desires that their child or their children remain as infants for the rest of their lives. I mean, as cute as they are, you don't want that. You want them to grow up. You want them to be productive and responsible in the community. And yet, we think that we can stay infants as Christians. We think that God just has to put up with us until we get to heaven. And I'm here to tell you, no, He doesn't have to put up with you until you get to heaven. If you don't want to grow up, then guess what? You won't grow up. But you are also going to miss out on all the things that God had prepared for you to do that you chose not to do. Go ahead, Pastor. You're preaching good this morning. Because, and we've looked at this over the past few weeks, it's our responsibility to grow up in Christ, to become His sons and daughters, to become like Him. I cannot do that for you. I cannot produce Christ in you. You cannot produce Christ in me. It is each one of us our own responsibility to do that. Okay? And, you know, here's, so it's our responsibility. Here's how we increase our responsibility. Increase your obedience to Him. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this, and we looked at this last week. He says, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Okay, what's that power at work within us? His Holy Spirit, His Word working in us. And so He sees great things in us. In other words, what He's saying is, look, you might be in the pit and you might dream of just getting out of the pit. Well, then guess what? There's a power in you. The Holy Spirit in you will enable you to get out of the pit. But then God doesn't just stop at just getting out of the pit, because then once you get out of the pit, you say, well, hey, there's a sky up there that I want to reach out to. There's more things that I want to do. And God says, okay, you think about what you want to do and I'll enable you to do it because I've placed my Spirit in you. And so there's such greatness and such an opportunity for us to excel in this life down here while we wait to go to heaven. And yet many of us just don't take that responsibility seriously. And we don't take our obedience seriously. We just think, well, God's just going to have to put up with me. And in a few weeks, we're going to look at that heart and we're going to find out he doesn't just put up with you. He is not like your parents who count to three, waiting for you to obey. You know, he just speaks and then he waits for you to do it. And if you don't do it, he finds somebody else and he speaks to them. And if they'll do it, he'll keep speaking to them. But when he speaks to you and you don't hear three and you don't do what he says, he moves on. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. I got to hurry. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. And we looked at this last week. And 20 is the key to this. He says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? In other words, God has placed his spirit in us. And he says, you are not your own anymore. If I say, I'm not my own, I belong to God. Verse 20 says, for you were bought with a price. And so he's saying, since you've been bought with a price, since God has purchased you, placed his spirit in you, he says at the end of verse 20, he gives us a command. So glorify God in your body. That's our responsibility. Okay? And so we have to come to the place where we decide that we are going to glorify God in our bodies. And trust me, there are plenty of opportunities throughout your day to glorify God in your body. And it starts with our obedience, okay? With our wanting to be obedient to him. When we decide to be obedient to God, guess what? There's going to be all kinds of things that come our way that are going to try and get us away from what God wants us to do. And so we have to make a conscious choice. We have to be purposeful in our thinking and in our actions to do what God wants us to do. And we have to be careful not to spiritualize things. I want to bring our attention back to Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28. He says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Now, look, if you're like me, this is not your first response when people do that to you, okay? When you are encountering your enemies, your first thought is not, oh, I want to pray for them. But then you come to the conclusion, well, you know what? God wants me to pray for them. And so then you sit down and you begin to pray, and this is how we usually pray. And don't get me wrong here, you know, and if you don't do this, God bless you, all right? But this is how we normally pray, because we have this great treasure in earthen vessels, in jars of clay. So we pray like this. Father, you know that SOB that just did this thing to me? Father, you know they did this to me? Get them. Sick them. Father, make life difficult for them. Isn't that how we start off? And then we come to our senses, well, oh, wait a minute, that's not how God wants me to pray. And so then we begin to pray like we're supposed to pray. Father, I thank you for, and you name their name. You say, bless them. Father, I thank you that they are made in the likeness and image of you. They are your son and your daughter. Father, pour out your spirit upon them. Open up the eyes of their understanding. Cause them to know you and the love that you have for them. And Father, cause them to walk in a manner worthy and pleasing of you all the days of their lives. And Father, bless them. Whatever their hands find to do, bless it, Father. Wherever they go, bless it, Father. And when you start praying like that, guess what happens? You forget all about them because you're starting to realize something about you. God is changing you from the inside out. Isn't that awesome? That's why he wants us to do this for them. Because somebody did that for us. And now we're just returning the favor. See, that's real life. And that's what God has called us to. That's what blessing them looks like. And then you can just go on and think about your life, and you think about how gracious God has been to you And you remember that his mercies are new every day. So guess what? You can pray that for the people that abuse you and use you and take advantage of you because you belong to Christ. Well, first of all, he says if they persecute, rejoice. Because he says, if you think that they hated me first, don't even worry about you. And so we have a change of heart towards others, and we have a heart that begins to love. And that's what God is after in our lives. That's how we love others. Okay? And we start seeing them made in the likeness and image of God, and we remember that they're just like us. That God has been good to us, and so now we want to be good to them. And we remember how much he's forgiven us, and so we want to extend that forgiveness to them. It does more in us than it does in them. And that's what God's after. He's after our heart. He's after what's in us. You know, we're always trying to fix everybody else. And, you know, I think God is just up there saying, would you just stop trying to fix everybody else? Let me just deal with you. You know? And so this is what becoming more like Christ looks like. And when we become more like Christ, then guess what? We're becoming more holy. And we're confronted every day with the decision, are we going to walk with God, or are we going to walk our way or according to the ways of the world? Are we going to choose the path of God's love? And no one else can make that decision for us. We are responsible for making it ourselves. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. When we choose God's way, then that's when we choose love. We choose to eventually be known as his sons and daughters. And I'm saying it's eventually, because the first time that you love, nobody's going to take notice of that. God will, but you know, he's not going to pronounce it. But he wants to see a lifestyle of you loving others. And when he sees that lifestyle in you, then he'll take notice of you, and he'll let everybody know that you are my son and you are my daughter. And we have the power within us, and so we have to take advantage of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, before I read out of Romans chapter 8, I just want to tell you this, that we as born-again believers, we can waste the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have the choice to do absolutely nothing with him if we choose to. Okay? His power is there. God's ready for it to be activated in our lives. But we have to choose to agree with God, to begin to love God and to love others as he has loved us. Or we can choose to set aside the power that is in us. It's our choice. Nobody's going to make that choice for you except for you alone. Now, here's the interesting thing is, I started off by letting you know that God wants us to be known as his sons and daughters, okay? But here's another reality. So does the world. The world is longing to find those who belong to God because they need what we have. They need the God that we have. They need the God that is within us, and they need that power. Okay? And that's what Romans chapter 8 says, starting in verse 18. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the creation, in other words, all the world, waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. That's you and I. The world is waiting for us to be revealed. The world wants to be able to say, hey, that one belongs to Jesus. That one belongs to God. They love like God. If you need something, you can go to them and they will be able to help you because their God is awesome. You want it? Choice is yours. Choice is yours. Verse 20, he says, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And that's a lot to say, but here's what it is. Man brought a curse upon creation, but here's the amazing thing is, through man, those who have been born again, those who are walking with the Spirit of God, those who are being led by the Spirit of God, those who are being willing to obey the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, those people on earth have the opportunity to restore what God had planned long ago. So man messed it up, but guess what? Man with God in us can help fix it, can help bring restoration. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. In other words, we're waiting for us to see it as well. So here's what I want you to see. The world is waiting for us to reveal real love, God's love. They want to know that God is real, and they want to know that God's love is real. And it starts with us obeying God and loving him first, loving him back, and loving ourselves and others as he has loved us. You know, if you wrestle with being forgiven all the time, you just can't imagine why God has forgiven you, then guess what? It's going to be hard for you to pass forgiveness on to others. So you have to settle it in your mind that God has forgiven you so that you can begin to forgive others. In order for us to obey, we have to take responsibility. In order for us to obey God, we have to take responsibility for our own lives, for our own actions. Now, sadly, that's hard for humans. But we have to do it. We have to take ownership. We always like to pass it on. We always like to blame somebody else for our lack of obedience. But we have to learn to take responsibility for our actions. One of the greatest tragedies that I see in the church today is to think that when we get to heaven and we stand before God, the excuses that we use down here that keep us from becoming all that God wants us to become, we have this false thinking that God is going to be sympathetic to us and he's going to accept those excuses. And I'm here to tell you, he won't. He won't. You can use it as an excuse down here for not becoming all that he's called you to be, but it's not going to fly when you're up there before him. Okay? Now, I know y'all love me. And this is where the rubber meets the road. All right? And I'm only going to deal with one thing this morning. Hopefully, by next week, I'll deal with some more. Because there's another element that keeps us, and I want to address it. But I want to address this one by itself. Because in my life and in the life of being a pastor, this is probably the number one reason why you don't become what God wants you to become. And it won't hold water when you stand before God. And here it is. Somebody. And for some of you, it could be more than one somebody. It could be two or three somebodies. It could be four or five somebodies. But somebody did you wrong. Somebody said something wrong to you. Somebody said something degrading or derogatory towards you, and you took that and you held that and you believed that. Somebody has said a word to you, and you've taken that word and with the help of the enemy, and he's twisted it in our minds, and it stopped us from becoming all that God wants us to become. You can think of that somebody now, because you know them. Maybe they abused you. Maybe they weren't there for you. And the list is endless, but whatever it is in your life that you think that somebody failed you in, I'm not here to tell you that they didn't fail you, and I'm not here to tell you that it didn't hurt, but I am here to tell you that don't let it keep you from becoming all that God has called you to be in Christ Jesus, and by the power working in us. You see, when those things are spoken by somebody, we retreat. Okay? Now, in my mind, what helped me out was we have this notion that when we stand before God, that all these people are going to be with us, those somebodies. And then when God says, okay, how come you didn't do this? And we're going to look to our left and we're going to say, well, they. And then he's going to ask us another question. We're going to say, we're going to look to our right and we're going to say, well, you know, they did this to me. But I don't ever read in Scripture where anybody else is going to be with us when we stand before him. So when you are standing before God and you want to turn to your left and talk about them, you're both going to look over there and there's nobody there. When you turn to your right, you're both going to look there and there's nobody there. When you turn around to see who's behind you, there's not going to be anybody there. It's just going to be between you and God. And my fear is that we have bought into this so much that we're going to be poised to stand before him and give an excuse as to why we didn't become and why we didn't take the responsibility to obey him. They are not going to be there when you go up there. You're not going to be able to use them as an excuse. So my point is, if you can't use them as an excuse up there when you're facing him, don't use them as an excuse now. Rise above it. Get over it. Forgive them. Do whatever you have to do so that you can become whatever God has planned in your life. Paul said in Philippians, he said, I haven't even come close to apprehending what God apprehended me for. In other words, I haven't come close to fulfilling what he's called me to do. And we're thinking, that's Paul and he's saying that? But just think, each one of us, there's greatness in each one of us. There's something that he's called you to that you are allowing somebody to keep you from fulfilling it. Stop. There is a power within you that will enable you to become all that God wants you to be. Now look, here's how we do it in our minds. We start blaming all these people. And look, I'm not, you know, it's not you who started that. Adam and Eve started that. Okay, they just passed it down. We sit there, we try and blame all these people. Now, can you imagine being Adam and you have the audacity to blame God for the problems that you just did? And he did that. We're going to look at it coming up, but Eve blamed the serpent, and then Adam blamed Eve. And then when that didn't fly with God, he says, look, God, he said, it's your fault. You're the one who gave her to me. I mean, really? Now, here's how I know I'm right. In all that I've shared, here's how I know that I'm right. You and I know all kind of people who are sitting at home and they're offended. They're offended at what somebody else said. They're offended at maybe what their parents said, what their siblings said, what their spouses said, what their friends said, what their teachers said, what their bosses said, and even what their pastor says, even what their church does and doesn't do. We get offended by all that. And what do? We just retreat and we shut up. We sit down and we stop becoming what God has called us to become. And then we start blaming everybody. We start playing the blame game. You know, and I've shared this story before, and it's worth sharing. When Diane and I were down in Dallas after we got married, and we had found a wonderful church that we were going to, and then we started to see something, one area in particular that we didn't really think was right. And so her dad was coming down, and we were thinking of leaving the church. And so I said, you know, no, we're not going to leave until we talk to your dad. And so he came down, and we talked to him about the issue that we saw, and he said, yeah. He said, I can agree with you. And so then we said, well, what do we do? And he says, well, you have two choices. He says, you can either stay or you can go to another church. Kind of simple, isn't it? And then he says this. And this is so wise. He says, but when you get to the other church, you're going to have problems there too. Because they're humans. They're people. So he said, may as well just stay where you're at. We did, till we came here. People. People. We are called to be responsible. And it starts with us obeying. No matter what anybody says about you, no matter what you think anybody else thinks about you, that they're really not thinking about you. And I've gone over that before, so I'm not going to do it again. But, you know, since you think they're thinking about you, then you're not going to do what you think they're either wanting you to do or not wanting you to do. And, I mean, see how warped we are? It all comes down to we have decisions to make. And the decision is, are we going to walk with God? Are we going to follow Him? Or are we going to retreat? Stand with me. You and I probably know a handful of people that don't walk with God to the capacity that they could because of someone else. They think. But you know what the reality is? It's because of them, because they haven't taken responsibility for their own choices. They've chosen not to take ownership and responsibility for me, myself, and I. And they've chosen the hurt and the pain and everything else that goes along with it rather than God. I pray that that's not us, that we choose God every moment of every day. It's a battle, but it's one that we can win because He's placed His Spirit within us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that this is a day that you've made, and your word declares that since you've made it, we can rejoice and be glad in it. And it doesn't mean that everything that's happening is good, but Father, we know one thing, that you are good. And we know that because you're good, you're never going to leave us and you're never going to forsake us. And Father, I pray that we would become all that you've called us to be. I pray that we would repent of anybody who, of the mindset of anybody who has held us back from becoming all that you've called us to be. Father, that somebody who did or didn't do what we expected them to do, and we've retreated, we've walked away from walking with you, Father, we repent of that. And Father, we want to become all that you've called us to be. We want to fulfill the destiny of our lives. And Father, I pray that we be released into that now in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit during this week, that you would speak to us, that you would lead us and guide us, and that we would become bold as lions, that we would become courageous enough to believe that you have great things for us. Father, if we're on that being offended road, and it's going to short circuit us from becoming all that you've called us to be, Father, help us to forgive those who have offended us so that we can fulfill all that you have for us. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.